If you want some of that action, you can head over to BetOnline, use the code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to get yourself a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. It doesn't have to be just betting on Austin Eckler numbers. You can bet on the NBA playoffs right now. Will the Dallas Mavericks come back? How about those NHL playoff action as well? You have golf, you've got tennis, you've got it. You got it right at your fingertips at BetOnline or on your mobile device. It's right there. All your up-to-date wagering and information at your fingertips. Just use our code BLEAV to get yourself that 50% welcome bonus and get yourself started, because bet online, where the game starts. Had to do a little vamping there at the end as I was struggling to find the transition here. I'm Nathan Perry here for Ref the District in the game as I struggle to make this thing go the way it's supposed to. Here we go. Camp takes. It's a day. And this, I can't blame this on not having a don't sleep energy, as I had one. This is my computer needs don't sleep energy. And if you need that pick me up, make sure you head over to don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the code district, get yourself 10% off your entire order. Don't sleep energy makes you great. They're fantastic. Local company supports us. You can support them and let them know that we sent you there. Get yourself a little discount. And you're not going to want to sleep on these players here. Trev, super amped to talk about our franchise quarterback, so we'll get to him here. But don't sleep energy. Use the code district, and don't sleep energy makes you great. All right, let's move on here for these camp takes. I do have a game for us to play. I've been kind of putting it together in the background, so if I've looked distracted, that is absolutely the reason why, as I'm putting together some things. But Jaden Daniels is the headliner. Looks phenomenal. The passes have been beautiful. Things are being said that have been said, and there's just a lot of great things that are coming out there. So what, Trev, you said it. Is it too early? Is it too early, Trev?
No. You know why? Because we are the Washington Oregon football organization, fans of the Washington football organization, and we're not used to this. Not since 2012 with RG3, and I still don't even think the hype was this big when RG3 was coming out, like, as number two.
Yeah, was it? I always try to remember. Was the hype in 2012 as big?
I really don't.
It was pretty big.
It was big.
But, it was big.
But I don't know. It's just watching the tapes of what the J.P. Finley and the John Kimes of the world are posting and everybody else I didn't name. This kid's got it. He's just flicking his wrist. It spirals all the time, no ducks. He's out there having fun. He has a competition game with Sam Hartman. They're joking around, like they're smiling. There's music. Like, you didn't see this from quarterbacks that we've had from previous 10, Taylor Heineke, the Carson Wentz. We signed Carson Wentz, MVP, Super Bowl, you know, champion, almost MVP, Super Bowl champion, like Carson Wentz. And it wasn't hype like this. Jaden Daniels is just, the way he handles a press conference, somebody asks how's it could be a star quarterback. He said, I'm not a star yet. I got a long way to go. I'm just a rookie.
Mm-hmm. Great line by him, by the way.
Terry McLaurin spent like 30 years raving about him just from minicamp and OTAs.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what he's going to say when we start winning ball games and Jaden pulls out some magic, like, and really lets it loose? It's just a good feeling to have to see that your number two pick overall in the draft, which happens to be your franchise quarterback, Jaden Daniels, is doing what he's supposed to be doing. And I know there's probably some bumps and kinks, but he's our guy. I mean, everybody, I don't think our staff and players are blowing as much smoke in their conferences about the quarterback as it was last year. Like, Terry probably blew some smoke about Sam Howell, Taylor Heineke. You know, we had to rally behind Taylor because he came in and, you know, we had to do that, quote unquote. But this guy, like, we've only judged him off college tape. And for him to come in and handle himself the way he is right now and just in OTAs and minicamps, he's our guy. Just off the field, press conferences, and the way he's picking up the playbook, the throws, the way he's having fun. He's just a kid.
I think the fun part is underrated. I like to see him out there. He's got it like a competition thing going with Sam Hartman. Yeah. He's smiling. He's enjoying it. I think that's important to see. And it might not mean anything in the grand scheme of things, but I think players do play better when they're relaxed, right? Mm-hmm. When you're not, when you're, he's the second overall pick, he's the franchise saving quarterback, you know, for a lot of people. And it doesn't seem like that pressure is getting to him. And I think that's important.
Yeah. And he just had like $20 million dropped into his lap. So
that could be a good reason to smile. That could be a good reason.
Well, I mean, but it also can change a guy. It can turn him into something different than he was. And he made plenty of money when he was at LSU, but not $20 million at one time worth. But I think there's two things that really stood out to me in these 2 days so far of minicamp, which the first one is that he comes in at 5:45 a.m. He's the first one in the building in terms of players. That means something. I'm sorry. It just does. It shows.
Commitment. Yeah.
And he's not going, and I'm going to throw a little bit of shade at RG3. He's not coming in and going straight to the weight room and trying to break all the weight room records.
Sure. Right?
That's what RG3 was a hard worker. He was there grinding all the time, but not necessarily in the playbook and not necessarily trying to be a better quarterback. He was in the weight room, and he was trying to do all those great things in the weight room. And you kind of see how that turned out. But he's there every morning, and he's there with, by the way, my guy, Luke McCaffrey, at 5:45 in the morning, and they're going through the playbook, and they're going through routes and all this. That's a big deal to me, to have your quarterback doing it. Again, a rookie quarterback who can have every excuse to not do these things. I'm a rookie. I got $20 million. I'm the star. I can do all of these things. And he's not doing any of those. So that's awesome. And the second thing was something that Austin Eckler said, and I'm kind of paraphrasing. I don't know if I have the exact what he was talking about, but there was some plays that Austin Eckler ran, and maybe they disconnected on a route. And Austin Eckler came back to the huddle to talk to him about it. And Jaden Daniels said something to the effect of, well, when the safety does this and the corner does that, I expect you to do this. And Austin Eckler didn't realize that Jaden Daniels had that in him. And he said that it took Justin Herbert into year three of Justin Herbert's career to have that same understanding of those route concepts.
Oh, you mean the same Justin Herbert that can play tight end, wide receiver, you know, defensive lineman, as Jim Harbaugh said? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a big deal.
That's the same Justin Herbert that Stoner salivates over every week.
I mean, that doesn't mean because it took him 3 years to figure that one part out that he's not any good. Or in this case, it took Jaden Daniels 3 weeks to understand certain route concepts or the way the defensive is playing. It only took him that amount of time. And now Austin Eckler's like, oh, cool. We can do this together because I know what you're saying, but I didn't think you had it in you. I didn't think that you were ready for that sort of understanding of a defense. That's a big deal too. They haven't had any pads. He hasn't had any real rush on him, all of these things. At this stage of where he's supposed to be, I think he's beyond where we kind of expected him to be. Look at some of the other quarterbacks. We've heard some things about struggling with certain things. We haven't heard any of that in terms of Jaden Daniels understanding the offense, and that's exciting.
Seems to be a lot of positivity coming out of the Commanders, which is what you want, right? This is the time to be positive. Now, that being said, you know, Doc Walker coming out and saying, if you think I'm going to be excited that the Heisman Trophy winner can play catch, you got the wrong guy. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about the prospects, but it don't mean squat until they get in pads. And that's
it something. Does.
It does it, though? Because I kind of agree with Doc here where it's just is fun and I love it. And I'm so happy to see all this being good right now because, again, this is the feel good time. But it doesn't mean a lot on Sundays yet, right? We need to see it in pads. We need to see it during the practices. If he's going to play in the preseason, we need to see him put together stuff during the preseason. And then we need to see him put it together during the regular season. And Trev, I'm going to use you here in a moment. I'm going to let you get your words in, but then I'm going to turn around. You opened the door for the game.
I did.
I want to hear what you have to say, and then I'm going to turn around for you.
Okay. I mean, yes, obviously it doesn't matter because no pads, but we could be the Patriots where Gerard Mayo said, you know, Drake May, who was picked right after Jaden, he's got a lot of work to do. You know, his footwork, this and that, he's got a lot of work to do. And the tape shows it. But we got this kid, like Stoner mentioned, like, it's not necessarily what he's doing, like, with pads. It's like he's learning the playbook. He's understanding how to be an NFL player. Like, that's huge in itself. That's why I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, of course we don't know how he's going to handle Jonathan Allen in pads. I mean, I don't know if pads would make a difference or not. But, I mean, it does because he can hit you. But, like, you're still seeing the same Deron Payne just without pads. So if you can pick up the concept and know where Deron's coming, then maybe in pads, like, he can show what he's learned in these not-so-important OTA minicamps. That's why it's exciting because, I mean, if I believe our coaching staff is not the one to blow smoke, like I said. He's retaining the information. He's learning the playbook. He's in there early. I don't think that's just something the coach staff is saying just for clicks and what they have to do because he was picked number two. Like, he's actually becoming a professional NFL football player. So, yeah, it is important for him to understand the playbook because that's what it is. Like Dan Quinn said, we're not focused on the physicality right now. We're focusing on the techniques, the details, the understanding. So you got to be excited if the kid can understand that. So come on, like, let's not just put a poo-poo on something that we haven't had in a long time because you don't have pads on. Okay, he's learning an NFL offense, which is something that I can't do, you can't do, you can't do right now if we tried. You know what I mean? So come on, Doc Walker. You've had your time. I understand. Come on, bro. Back off a little bit.
Yeah. And I think there's probably two parts to his tweet or whatever probably that he not. Said. Where he said, I'm not going to get excited over it because they haven't been in pads. He's excited. It's true that he hasn't proven anything until they get into pads, but it's still okay to be excited. You don't want to just sit there and say, I'm not going to get excited. This is different. This is all we've asked for. All we've asked for the last 20 plus years is three things. We've asked to get rid of Dan Snyder, and that happened. We asked to get a franchise quarterback, and that happened. And then the third, of course, we'll see win ball games.
Win games. Yeah. Right. That's going to be the important factor.
Sure. Right. That's the three biggest things. Ahead. And so it's okay. It's okay to get excited. It really is.
It is. I do not want to yick anyone's yum. All right. Yeah, I don't want to do that. I want people to be excited during this time. I'm just saying that there are things that we have to be wary of. And one of the things that I'm repeatedly going back to for people is we've heard it before, mm-hmm. right? And Trev, you even said that there were some things, you know, they had to prop up some players. So we have mm-hmm. heard it before, right? Right? So I'm going to give you some of the things that were said about a Washington quarterback over the course mm-hmm. of a few years. Could be mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels, could not be Jaden Daniels. You have to tell me if it was Jaden Daniels or who it was about, okay?
All right.
The first one, the kid is a gamer, and I think everyone knows that. Is that Jaden Daniels? Who is that about Jaden Daniels? Who's that about?
That's Sam Howell.
No, Sam I say Howell. It's Taylor Heinicke.
Taylor Heinicke, one for Stoner. Stoner, keep track. If you got the whiteboard, now's the time to use it here.
All right.
Okay. He's making it happen. He's making throws a lot of people can't do.
Oh, that's Sam Howell.
Well, let me ask this. How far are we going back? 20 years? Are we going back like 4 years?
We're only going back. We're not going back as far as RG3. I stopped there.
All right. Give me the quote again.
He's making it happen. He's making throws a lot of people can't do.
Carson Wentz.
Trav, you locked in at Sam Howell?
Yeah.
Is, in fact, Sam Howell.
Oh.
There's a lot of different things he's capable of doing. Obviously, a very skilled player.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Well, judging by who we've had, can that be Jaden Daniels?
Say it again.
There's a lot of different things he's capable of doing. obviously a very skilled player.
Yeah, I'm with you, Trev. I got Jaden Daniels on that one.
Carson Wentz.
Oh
my God.
Offensive coordinator Scott Turner laid that one.
Okay, well then never mind.
That explains it. Oh, no count.
You see him taking responsibility for something that happens out there. So if something goes awry, he steps up right away and tries to get it corrected. And if it's his fault, he'll let everybody know.
That's Taylor Heinicke.
I'm going to say that's Haskins.
Sam Howell.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I do remember that one. I do remember him saying that last year.
Who said that?
That one was
that Rivera.
Terry McLaurin might have said that one.
Oh, okay.
A lot of these are actually Terry McLaurin quotes over the course of his time here.
Yeah.
How about this one? The way he's driving the ball down the field is definitely a lot better for us receivers. It gives us a chance to track the ball down the field and gives us a chance to make plays.
That's Jaden.
Sam Howell.
Trev says it's Jaden Daniels, Sam Howell, yeah. Taylor Heinicke.
Oh my.
No one was ever going to get that one, right? Yeah, driving the ball down the field and Taylor Heinicke, normally in the same sentence.
Was he putting the passenger seat of his car and driving down the field? That's the only way he can do that.
He wants to be as good as he possibly can be. He's working his butt off.
Wow, that could be said about anybody.
Yeah.
Really?
That's Sam Howell.
I'm gonna say it's gonna be a young guy. Once he's working his butt off. Yeah, I'm with you again, Trev. Sam Howell.
That one is Jaden Daniels.
Oh, okay.
Oh, who said that?
I want to say that was JA maybe. I didn't have everybody who wrote the read these things.
Oh, okay.
How about this one? Let me find one that we haven't read before. He's very confident in his ability, and he's not afraid to give guys the opportunity to make plays.
It's an opportunity to make plays. Read it again.
He's very confident in his ability, and he's not afraid to give guys the opportunity to make plays.
Fitzpatrick. What? I like the Fitzpatrick.
Garrett one. Gilbert.
I'm gonna add in here. You can really tell he has a good grasp of playing football.
I'm sticking with Fitzpatrick.
I'm gonna go with Marcus Mariota.
I might even change to Alex Smith, but I'm gonna stick with Fitzpatrick.
Sam Hill.
Oh, geez.
I think he moves really well, throws the ball well, and for a young guy that's coming in, seems to really like the command of the offense, and I think that's important.
That's Jaden Daniels. I remember that. Zach Ertz said that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go with
that one. That one is Jaden Daniels. I think there might be a couple more that I haven't read here, but you guys are getting the idea.
Here's one. Let me just throw a quick one in there.
Okay.
We got our guy. We finally got our quarterback. I'm paraphrasing.
Sam Howell.
That's not a quote.
Sam Howell.
I think that was Sam Howell. Stoner. Sam Howell is him.
Yes. That was Terry McLaurin last year, early on in season. In season. He said, we got our guy. And look, Terry McLaurin thought they had their guy. That's what he felt at that moment. But it turns out.
Sure. I actually do have one more. Okay. He's going to give guys a chance to make the play down the field, and he throws a really nice deep ball.
That's Jaden Daniels.
I feel like he's trying to trick us. I'm trying to read Nathan rather than figure out who the quote is about. Like he's trying to give us a curveball. Really nice deep ball. You haven't gone back that far. It's really been just kind of the last 2 years.
I avoided one person. Go ahead.
I got Jacoby Brissett.
That's not a bad guess. That it is another Sam Howell one. I did avoid Haskins. I was talking to EP and she said, "Yeah, don't do that one." And it's okay
to training. Talk about the guy and his football exploits. We can't just pretend like he never existed.
I'm not saying I was going to do that. I wanted to go all the way back to RG3 for all the quarterbacks we thought were going to be franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But when I came out here about a half an hour before the show, my computer wasn't functioning. So I ended up having just to kind of quickly cobble some together. But that was a nice little game, a nice little exercise to show us again that we've heard these nice things at this stage. And then it's not uncommon to hear these things. Are we hearing it for some of the other quarterbacks? You know, we've heard some bad things about JJ McCarthy. We've heard some bad things about Drake May. But we're also not paying attention to all the good things being said and all the things that, you know, that's not our lane, right? Our lane is Jaden Daniels, and we're hearing the good things and we want to see the good things. So we're seeing these beautiful, beautiful deep balls and these on target passes, and him throwing the ball in the rain apparently is a big deal for people. And it's just, it do not get tired of being excited. Okay. Yeah. And to quote Jonathan Allen, keep that same energy.
Okay.
When he throws his first interception, week two, whenever it's going to happen, because it's going to happen. Okay. When Jaden Daniels throws his first NFL interception, keep that same energy, keep that excitement. Understand this is a long process. So that's I'm not trying to yick anybody's yum here, but
I don't know, Trev. I don't know what that means either.
You don't want to yick anybody's yum. People like get excited, like have it doesn't matter. The kids these days, they say it. We're none of us are kids. You can tell by the grays in my hair. I'm not trying to yick the yum. Find me another saying to say, because I am tired of saying it now. Right. I'm not trying to poo-poo on anybody.
Right.
There you go.
I am just bringing to light that these are things we've heard before, and that the excitement we have today might not be the excitement we have later, but we need to keep that same energy and keep the excited, because there are some good things, and it's not all Jaden Daniels. No. There's just some good things out there on this offense that we're seeing, and we're seeing players kind of come together, and then the defense is looking really good. There's more energy on the defense than ever before. And you're having players talk about both offense and defense about how this, for the first time in a long time, is something they want to come to, that they're enjoying themselves and the camaraderie. There's a huge, buildup by the coaches to talk about how you guys are teammates, and you guys got to act like teammates. And I think that is going to go a long way, and that's going to win a football game.
Yeah. What is that thing that you always use, Nathan? Like, winning on the edges or whatever. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Those little things like that can be the difference between a 10-7 and a 8-9 type season.
Winning in the margins.
Yeah, winning in the margins. There you go. And you've seen that. You've seen the energy when the coaches are involved with the, I don't even know what you call that, when the scrum, when everybody starts practice and they're all screaming and yelling and jumping and running and all that. The coaching is bringing the energy, and it's rubbing off on the players. And so some of the things that I've seen, that I've noticed in camp so far, the guys who are standing out on defense, the three guys that I think have stood out defensively, I think have been Jeremy Chinn, Frankie Louvu, and Dorrance Armstrong. And what all three of those guys have in common, they're
new signings.
There are guys that have come here and this coaching staff thinks that they fit, and it seems to be so far. And look, going back to Doc Walker's quote, they haven't done anything yet. They haven't been in pads yet. Dorrance Armstrong has been making some great moves on the outside, but wait till, Sam Cosmi and Andrew Wiley, get their pads on and start, slamming them into the ground. It's going to be a different story. But right now, those guys have stood out, and I think that's a big, big deal. We've had so many failures with free agents and draft picks over the last 4 years. It's refreshing to see that these guys who are coming in here are going to hopefully make a difference.
They're, like I said, I think the roster turnover is just under 50% at this point, which is crazy to think about. And 1 year that you're turning over this much, a third of the roster, sure. You know, at a bad roster like this, you can see 40%, maybe, you know, edging its way towards 45, but to be reaching 50% is just entirely crazy. And then we're going to see, you know, not just the we're not talking just the 53 man roster here being a turnover. We're going to see the 22 players who make up the offense and defensive starters, how many different faces are going to be out there. One of those may be the rookie Coleman, who did start practice today out at left tackle with the ones, and has some people saying that he at least looks the part. Now, there's no contact at this point, and he is a big dude, and his TCU coach, with one word to describe him, called him nasty. Mm-hmm. So is there excitement, Trev, for Coleman out at left tackle, or are you on a wait-and-see approach here?
Both. I'm excited. Apparently he was a stud at TCU. He's a big dude. Everything that's come out in reports said he's like aggressive, mean, nasty, mauler, physical. It's cool that he's running with the ones, and that's because our left tackle position is not solidified. Even though it's still camps and there's competition at certain spots, but there's definitely competition at LT because we don't have a clear cut number one like we do at other positions. So it's good he's getting burns with the ones. I don't know if he's going to start out that way week one, but you never know. He could have a great training camp and put on a show better than Cornelius Lucas and Trent Scott, who he's competing with, and maybe a veteran that we signed before training camp too. So, yeah, I'm excited, but it's also wait and see because out of all the draft picks, I feel like he's the one that has the biggest chance of not panning out. Not being a bust, but not panning out. Because I feel like he wasn't one of the offensive linemen that was talked about that much before draft. But he's not one that wasn't talked about at all. Like, we didn't wait till the sixth round to get him. So I'm just both. Wait and see and excited.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that same boat. You know, offensive left tackle is my biggest rant this entire offseason. Is they I didn't feel they addressed it well enough. Right. And so I really do hope that Brandon Coleman makes me eat those words and that he does come out and earn that job from the start. You don't want a guy who's like compete, and then you get to, okay, week one, Coleman's going to be our left tackle. What I want is I want Coleman to go in there and take over from day one, which is today, yesterday, this camp, and then say, I'm the left tackle. You all are going to have to knock me out of this spot. That's what I'm hoping from him. And I hope to eat my words, but I'm with you, Trev. I'm a little cautious on getting excited about him. Sure, he's a big dude. Sure, he's a nasty dude. But do you have the skills to play left tackle and the skills to block you know, we're not in season, so I can't remember everybody's names, but those edges, Thibodeau for the Giants, and Micah Parsons is going to be coming off the edge, and the Eagles still have just violent pass rushers. Does he have the skill to stop those guys? That's 6-year games every year.
Because we believe it or not, we do know what it feels like to have a stud left tackle. Trent Williams was here. Absolutely. During all that mess, and he was still balling out. So that's kind of the bar I put in our left tackle position. Sure. But since then, Charles Leno, appreciate what you did. Serviceable left tackle, you know, not bad or bust, but we've seen left tackle play. Trent Williams. Right. So that's where my bar is right now. If you're close to that, then I think we've got.
Yeah. I would accept even Charles Leno level of play. Yeah, I know that's not exciting.
Only if it's your rookie. Like, I wouldn't accept that from, say, Trent Scott.
Sure. I mean, at Trent Scott, I expect Trent Scott level of play.
Well, so, what I'm saying is, if Trent Scott wins the job and he gives you Charles Leno level of play, then what does that tell you about Brandon Coleman? At least in his first year, you're saying, okay, he ain't it.
Yeah.
So, but if Brandon Coleman gives you Charles Leno type of play, level of play, then you say, okay, he's a rookie. He's not great, but he's serviceable and he can improve as time goes on. And so I think there's a difference in who you say you're okay with Charles Leno level of play.
Yeah. I mean, if we get Charles Leno level of play, I know people didn't like him, but I mean, he was a lot better than what people think. And it would at least be serviceable and hopefully help Jaden Daniels. We can't, I would love to have a Trent Williams level of play. I mean, I was so excited when Washington picked him, being a Sooner guy, everything, love the big guys on the line. But I mean, that's, you're talking about one of the top like three offensive tackles in the game.
Yeah. Of the of this generation, of his generation.
Of this generation. The guy should be, you know, a Hall of Famer, right?
Oh yeah.
He's when all is said and done. So I mean, like, you're that's a I love shooting for the stars, but if we can just get Charles Leno play, then I'd be okay with that. Not happy, not thrilled, not excited, but I would be okay with it. Now, one of the things that was also maybe not the most exciting thing or most happy thing to hear was one of those linebackers we talked about in the warm-up wasn't out there playing today. Kept out there with a minor ankle injury.
Yeah.
Team's not concerned, but Frankie Louvu was out. You guys don't seem to be bothered by this either.
No.
Tomorrow's the last day of minicamp, then they got 6 weeks off. He's fine.
6 weeks off. That's right. I mean, I'm not even bothered by Johnny Newton's injury issue at this point.
Yeah, me neither. Nope.
Now, if he comes into camp, training camp in a boot,
right?
I got a problem with that. But
we don't talk about
right
it.
Now, yeah, right. I mean, he's not like in a cast or he's not like in a surgery situation where, like, you know, he had his knee redone or something like that.
Right.
So I'm not worried about it, but
he's not on a second foot injury this year. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be all right.
Yeah, so Johnny Newton is, but all things are showing pretty positive for Newton, the second round pick for Washington, going nicely through the progression of his healing process. Dan Quinn talking pretty positive about that. Is there some optimism there? Kind of, we're talking about, you know, Frankie not being a problem. Is Johnny Newton going to be available by the time the season starts? And are we certain that he'll be ready?
Yes. If he's taking the steps he needs to take right now, and also participating on the bike. What did we call that back in the day? When you were on the bike
all the time? Cycle club? No, what was
that? What was that?
Maybe.
I don't know. I can't
remember. Was it the Ashburn
Cycle Club? There's a lot of different words. I mean, you had Malcolm Kelly out there. I'm trying to think of some of the ones that are out there. But, yeah.
I'm not worried. If he's like we said, we got 6 weeks until training camp. Now, if, like Stoner said, he shows up in the same boot first few days of training camp, I'm going to be on here a little bit worried. But right now, I'm not. He's out there doing the bike without using his feet, just doing his arms.
Yeah.
That dude is a monster. So, like, I'm not worried.
Hey, who was the second round pick two drafts before this one? What? Do you all remember?
I'm talking Chase Young?
No, second round pick. Not the
second round pick. Oh, Fadarian Mathis.
Is he still on this team?
Yes, he is.
I'm just kind of saying, like, you don't hear nothing about that dude. Nathan was talking about impact defensive tackles. You did not mention Fadarian Mathis.
That's fine. Because when he played, he was kind of impactful, but he spent most of his time injured for us. So he's fine. He'll make it.
I know, but it's just
like, will he though?
One thing out of him.
Yeah. Will he make it? I honestly,
you got Payne, I don't know. Allen, Ridgeway, Mathis,
Newton. You're not keeping all five.
I guess you might. Again, we don't know how the defense is going to be set up.
You might, bro. Mm. If we're going to keep some fresh legs, you might keep five.
So let's perfect transition here for Trey's question. What position group will the Commanders keep the most of? And we're gonna say this more than what you would expect them to keep. Okay, because offensive linemen, defensive linemen as a group tend to be more stacked because you have to. That's a group of five, so you're going to be keeping closer to 10 on those. So mm-hmm. which position group though are we going to keep more than you normally would see? You know, wide receivers, you normally see six or seven. Is that going to go up? Mm-hmm. You know, especially with the kickoff rules.
I was going to say running back might, like, if it's going by more than we suspect for position.
Yeah, normally you keep three back. And you're going to say more than three.
Or because mm-hmm. of the kickoff or special, like, we, that's tough.
Yeah. I'm going to keep ranting about it until, you know, it comes to fruition, but I think it's either the wide receiver or the running back group, whoever is going to have that kickoff return specialist. They're not going to trot Jahan Dotson out there for kickoff returns. I don't believe it. I know he's been practicing for it and all that, but I don't believe he's going to be out there doing kickoffs. It's going to be a guy like a Jeremy McNichol, or it's going to be a guy like a Kaz Allen. Right, it's going to be somebody who's not in your rotation offensively or defensively. And so that's going to need that extra roster spot. And I think it's going to come from one of those two. I don't know about Forbes being a punt returner or a kick returner. I don't know about that. But
you got to use them somewhere if you're not going to put them out there in the rotation. I'm just saying. Now, I'm going to go with quite a few people here who are going with the secondary. Mm. I think that's probably what we're going to see. I think you can see maybe a safety, an extra safety, an extra DB, where this is, you know, that's where you pull, you know, those guys are athletic too. And, you know, they don't need hands. If you're catching these, most of the time you're catching it, you know, kind of with your body. So, you know, it's something I think that they can work through and use. And then, as mentioned by Grimjaw here, you know, we have a defensive coach, defensive minded people. They're going to want to keep a couple more of those guys, I think, on them. I think just because we're going to keep seven wide receivers, and you'll probably see one of those wide receivers be one of the return options, right? I don't know about running backs. I think they'll probably just keep the three. I think they're pretty happy with their 1-2 punch. Chris Rodriguez is possibly the third guy in that one. So, I mean, but I don't think they need to keep anybody on the active roster after that for running backs.
I'm curious, Nathan, if it was today and you had to make roster cuts, who are your seven wide receivers?
Oh, I got you too.
My seven wide receivers. This is rough.
This is today.
Today. Yeah. So I'm gonna use my pen and paper here with this one. I will say this, after Terry, we might not have a strong group. Last year, let's go back 1 year and how we were talking about this group. We thought that we had one of the best 1-2-3 punches in the league.
Yeah.
If not the best, top five, easy, top three, probably a lock as well. Some people had us at number one, and now we're going in there. Terry has one.
Yep.
Jahan Dotson as two.
Okay.
At three, I'm going to go with Zacchaeus.
All right.
Four, Diami Brown.
Oof. Brown, which, by the way, he's a training camp king. He just dominated
feasting camp, in these deep throws. He's absolutely feasting. We'll go with McCarthy.
Or McCaffrey.
McCaffrey, yeah.
All right. Let's
see, six and seven out there. Who's left? I'm going to keep Jameson Crowder.
Okay.
You need a nice vet on the roster like that who can make plays across the field for you. And then seven. Who are my options? Who are
we missing? Rosemary Jack Saint from Georgia. Keep him.
No.
Yeah. I mean, Jack Saint's a guy. Kaz Allen, Bryson Tremaine.
No.
Mitchell Tinsley.
Maybe.
I don't know. Is that everybody? Let me double check.
Damir Bird.
Damir Bird. That's right. That's right.
Bird's not bad.
All right, let me see who else is in the wide
receiver. Did I butcher this time? McCaffrey, I think. Butcher McCaffrey. I did call him McCarthy.
I don't know who Davion Davis is, but he's on the roster. That's it.
Yeah, he had a catch today.
Those are your choices.
I'll go with Tinsley. I'll throw people a bone. They love him. I can see this roster not having him, though. But, you know, Bird would be another option. The guy from Georgia ain't it. He's a practice
squad guy. A lot of people like him.
He's a practice squad guy.
Trev, who would be wide receiver 7 for you? Assuming you agree with those first six.
Yeah, why not? Those
first six? Okay. Who's wide receiver 7 for you?
I mean, if we're going to probably use him as a return specialist.
He's going to be – let's just put that out there that, yes, he's your return guy.
Give me Damir Bird.
He's your return guy?
He's had some success with a few teams. I don't know about returning, but as a wide receiver, pretty speedy, shifty guy.
Dax Milne, don't forget, is an option there as well.
I did forget.
Sorry. Thanks, Lockdown.
He got to go. Sorry. I'm over it. He got to go. So, yeah, Damir Bird. Go ahead.
Do you want to change your answer, Nathan, because you forgot about Mr. Steal Your Girl?
No. Not at all. Okay. I did not forget about him. He held on last year just barely. I don't think he's going to hold on to a roster that's seeing 50% turnover. I just don't see him being lucky enough in that one. Now I do have some qualms with people and I want to hear the arguments. I know Stoner is a big Luke fan. And I'm going to look forward to doing the Luke chants, right? Luke, I'm looking forward to it, okay? But tell me here, McCaffrey is already ahead of Brown. Timothy here, you're smoking if you don't think Luke won't be wide receiver 3. I had him down at 5 in my list. That's partially because he's a rookie, top 100 pick, the 100th pick, and we saw that through our data that doesn't mean squat, okay? Especially at wide receiver. At that point, it's a coin flip. I like what I've seen. I'm not saying that he can't be productive, and I do think that he'll probably see more playing time as a tall inside wide receiver than possibly Brown, because Brown is really going to be more of an outside speed guy, okay? But I think a lot of people are underestimating the wide receiver signing we got from Philadelphia, and TJ's teasing me because I can't say his name right.
Zacchaeus. There you go.
Zacchaeus. Okay.
I mean, he can't say Mahomes right. So
yeah,
don't be surprised if he can't say Zacchaeus correctly.
Zacchaeus. So I mean, you can move him up to 4, but people are telling me he's wide receiver 3 and he's clearly better than Brown. Mm. Why is that? Why? What have we seen here in camp, as we're talking about camp, that makes you think that that's the case? Because we've seen De'Ami Brown feast in these deep ball throws, and he's out there. We've seen maybe one video of Luke McCaffrey catching the ball. I mean, it wasn't bad, but I mean, it wasn't like he's not continually being pushed in our face the way that you would think people talk about him as being the clear number 3 wide receiver.
Maybe the intangibles. Maybe he runs routes better. Maybe he understands the offense better. Maybe the size matters. Maybe his experience with the Eagles and somewhere else catching some touchdowns and passes helps. We haven't seen anything from Luke McCaffrey. Not saying he's not capable, but he's not proven to be wide receiver 3. If we're going to do that just because of his last name, let's be honest, that's why people are saying it. Because I'm pretty sure nobody was mentioning Luke McCaffrey as a draft prospect during the whole offseason before the draft. But once we draft him, he's wide receiver number 3 already because his last name is McCaffrey. And he played a 1-year receiver at Rice. Before that, he was a quarterback.
A year and a
half.
Come
on, guys. Yeah. Let's be honest. No shade to Luke. He's probably going to be a stud. I mean, he's working on handoffs from us too, so he's going to be a gadget already. But wide receiver 3, let's be honest. That's a little bold. The Zacchaeus has proven – De'Ami Brown has proven he could be that guy. Not consistently, but those 2 touchdowns from Carson, he has shown, you remember, like, and in training camp, he's shown flashes he could be that guy.
He's certainly run a lot of cardio,
Yeah, but Luke has shown us some poses for media day, some handoff from Anthony Lynn, and uncovered rainbow deep balls, half speed and OTAs. Just say it. That's probably why I would agree with you. To put Zacchaeus at number 3 and not McCaffrey.
I'm that guy, Trev. I'm a McCaffrey guy, and I'm that guy who, as soon as he came in, I said he's wide receiver 3.
I get
He's going to be wide receiver three.
You have loved
him. He played receiver at Rice.
That doesn't mean anything. I mean, you have a – I mean, Randy Moss played it and Marshall, right?
Okay,
Randy Moss, one of the greatest wide receivers of all time, played it at Marshall.
Time out. Hold on. Randy Moss is a freak. Luke McCaffrey is just a McCaffrey, okay? Let's be honest. Right now he's a McCaffrey.
He's athletically gifted, sure.
What competition was he going up against in Rice to be in, like – and you already heard it. What did Cliff say he liked about Luke McCaffrey? Nothing about what he can do in the field. He liked this story, overcoming adversity, being a McCaffrey brother, this and that. He didn't say he's got great hands, he's got great running route ability, he got separation, da da da. He just said he liked the story. So come on, Stoner. You could be a McCaffrey guy, but he's not wide receiver three yet.
Okay.
Come on.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Right we'll now, see. No.
It's all fair to believe in the hype and want to buy it. But I mean, Trav, you hit it right there on the nail on the head. Okay. At pick 100, we are all like, hey, get a wide receiver. A lot of us were saying Rice, right? Only we weren't talking about the college. We're talking about the kid.
And he fell into the sixth round.
Yeah. And so when Luke McCaffrey's name was called, a lot of us were just like, I guess that's McCaffrey's brother. I mean, we might have something there, but I mean, no one thought that. And in fact, a lot of people were even talking about how it was a reach.
Yeah.
Draft weekend. But now there's a lot of hype. You accuse me all the time, Stoner, of putting on my burgundy and gold glasses and talking myself into all of these players.
He got the Oculus on.
Full on. And it's, I'm not, I can put, okay, everybody who wants De'Ami Brown to fall down this list, by all means, he can fall down the list. I was on the De'Ami Brown hype train last season. He let me down, and I'm not getting on that train again. That's not what this is, but he is a wide receiver who has at least some talent that's been played on Sunday. Luke McCaffrey has not. I think that Luke McCaffrey can get unlocked in the Cliff Kingsbury offense, but I would put him at wide receiver four. And if the people who don't know about Zacchaeus might need to start watching some Eagle film, some Eagles games. He's a lot better than what people think. So Brian had him as the surprise cut. I just don't see it. If you're going to have a Jameson Crowder out of my list of seven, Jameson Crowder would be the one who I think is most likely to be a surprise cut.
Man, I think there are some guys who I think will be surprise cuts, and mine was Forbes earlier, but Jameson Crowder as a surprise cut? Oh, I think you might be going a little overboard there.
It'd be a surprise. I mean,
no, it'd be a surprise.
It'd be a surprise. No, I said you keep a guy like Jameson Crowder around, especially with the new return rule. Yes, Trev.
I got a guy who you keep around. It's going to segue into another camp take before we move on. Quan Martin. Can we get to that?
Yes.
Can we talk about, because I don't care who we keep and don't keep. It's June 12th. We got time. But Quan Martin tipped behind the back interception.
But don't worry, Trev. I got it right here. I got you.
Jeez, right DJ,
you got there. The video.
Oh, you know it. You know it. I absolutely have this one because this was just a thing of beauty here. So for those who might not follow the team super closely on the social media channels, the beat reporters were going wild over an interception, except for John Keim, who had the best reaction out of everybody. Everybody else is like all caps, exclamation points, and John Keim just comes out there. Quan Martin intercepted a pass behind his back. That was it. It was simple, just like just straight facts. I'll let you get hyped here watching it and seeing what happened here as Quan Martin tips the ball to himself and then does, on the run, catch it two hands behind his back. Just
shout out the Commanders social media / video crew or whatever. I mean, that's a great job following that. That's hard to follow when a guy kind of jumps up there and intercepts going in the different direction than you're expecting, because you're expecting the pass to be complete.
Yeah, you're supposed to be going to the left, not to the right.
Yeah, so that was pretty awesome. But, man, the interception itself, crazy good. Great. And who was trying to catch it, by the way?
That was Chris Rodriguez.
That was at 23.
Yeah. So yeah, this was a Mariota pass. That's fair. Yeah. It was a C-Rod out there. Mariota's throwing it. One of my favorite things here is the offense in the background. Cliff Kingsbury in his famous hat at this point, and the offense just kind of chilling back there watching, and then they realize, oh, we got to get out of the way. Run into the sidelines. It was a fun thing, and it was great hearing this, especially I've been very open about my love Quan Martin and what I expect from him this season, and getting some early, you know, hype to go along with that, I think is great. Quan Martin definitely is going to be somebody who I think we're going to be saying his name quite a bit.
Yep. So your guy is Quan Martin.
Yeah.
My guy, and I've got a couple of them, but at least for my rookie is McCaffrey, but my sort of guy who's going to step up to the next level this year is going to be my guy at can't even think of his name right now. Luvu, right? Mm-hmm. I think Luvu is going to take a huge step this year. Trev, who's kind of like your guy who's going to make that next step? Offensively or defensively? Doesn't have to be defensively. Who's going to kind of go from, okay, right? Next step, next level. Doesn't have to go to Pro Bowl level, but.
I think B-Rod has a good chance of doing that. Hmm. He's got somebody where he can share the rock with. It's not going to be a heavy load on him. And it's a new style of offense. He already showed that he can catch the ball out of the backfield a little bit last year. So I think
he's
going to improve on that. I think it's going to be more of an all-around kind of running back rather than just the downhill ground and pound.
And then don't you think that Eckler's going to take away a lot of those carries or a lot of those opportunities?
How do I say this? I have no idea what to expect with the running back, B-Rob and Eckler, with this Kingsbury offense. I mean, we might see Eckler in there first, second, third down. Might see B-Rob first, second, third down. Might see them in there at the same time. It's just – I don't know. Depends on the situation, I guess. But I do think B-Rob's going to excel his running back game now that he has somebody in Austin Eckler to push him to be a great running back. And I think the offense is going to allow him to be a great running back. And then defensive side, with I think Benjamin St. Juice, for real. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I thought he was a decent corner that we had. He was a little handsy, caused a lot of heartbreak with the pass interference penalties at crucial times. But he was also a pretty good shutdown, lockdown cornerback. And I think with Joe Witt and Tom Donatell and William Gay back there, all the assistant DB coaches, I think they're going to maximize Benjamin St. Juice. And I think we'll see a better version of him this year. Maybe less handsy, more technical, and more ball hockey rather than, you know.
I think it's important he makes the jump. I mean, we're talking year three for him, right?
CD1, right?
He's kind of the default one.
Right.
I agree with you, Trev. I think there's a lot to like there. So I think that's something. B-Rob is an interesting one. I think I agree very much with Brian here. If Eckler takes half the carries this year, B-Rob will still have more attempts than last year. And I wanted to put some numbers to this for reference, okay? Brian Robinson had 178 attempts last season. The team only attempted 359. Their opponents, for the record, attempted 480. So
he had half the carries.
He had about half the carries that Washington attempted, and I can see that same breakdown going. I think that he's going to take up 50% or more of the team carries and still surpass 178 carries. I see him finishing around 225. I think Austin Eckler is going to have more than 100 touches himself. This team they're gearing up to run the ball.
Yeah, they are. I agree.
I mean, they even have Luke McCaffrey. their wide receiver picked at 100.
Wide receiver three?
Lining up to receive some snaps.
You know, okay, real quick. Stoner, Curtis Samuel was wide receiver three for us last year. You really putting Luke McCaffrey in that same spot?
Yes. Next question. Okay,
moving on.
nice, quick, decisive answer. There's a lot of names. You know, I like Quan Martin. I've said I'm expecting Jamin Davis to show us something he hasn't. On offense, a guy who I really want Washington to just lock up. Will Diggs asking the question here. Should we sign Sam Cosmi before the season starts? Yes.
Yes.
Do it. He's only getting better, and he's only going to cost you more money. If you do not sign him before the season and you wait till after the season, you're looking at somebody who's not a budding right guard. You're looking at somebody who's possibly one of the top guards in the league. I'm not going to say he's going to be top three, top five guy.
Yeah, you're good.
But top 10, he has a lot of talent, a lot of athletic ability. And I think that Bobby Wagner interaction tells you that he is still learning. And I think that now's the time you get him when the getting's cheap, because you wait till after the season. The only way you're getting him cheap is if he's injured.
You don't re-sign only superstars, right? You sign guys who also are good players, and Sam Cosmi is that guy. So, yeah, you absolutely sign him now and, again, not have to wait for, oh, maybe we're going to have to franchise him and now it's going to cost us top five guard money. You know, we don't want to go through the whole Brandon Sheriff thing again, right? So, yeah, you got to lock him up, and you got to lock him up now.
One.
I want to address Mr. Timothy Swindle real quick. Combine does not mean a thing when it comes to what you can do on the field. Troy Apke ran one of the fastest combines in the history of combines.
And Trev loved himself.
Okay. And he's jobless. So I might need to do some research, but I could tell you Luke McCaffrey was on nobody's board until draft day at pick number 100. Just because they had a great combine and the best cone drill, because, and if I can remember, you play against human beings, not cones in NFL. So all that stuff does not mean anything to me personally.
And now Trev's kind of getting to the analytics side, which is my, like, those numbers matter. But
yeah, football guy.
No, that's fair. For our audio listeners, Timothy calling out Trev here. At this point, Trev just hating. Must not have watched a second of this kid's film or anything at the combine. 447 and had the best cone drill. Educate yourself, guy, is what Timothy was calling Trev out.
That's my guy.
Trev is not a hater, really. unless you're Trev. Well, actually, let's list some of the players that Trev's hated over the years. Actually, because
Kendall Fuller,
you've hated quite a bit of guys. So maybe you are a little bit of a hater. I don't think you're a hater on Luke.
Taylor Heineke.
Oh, did he hate that? Well, I guess he hated
Cam Curl, Taylor Heineke.
I can't trust
gone.
Ever since he said how much he loved Carson Wentz. I could not trust him on quarterbacks after that one. But, yeah, I think Luke will be – a lot of people – and I highlighted this comment earlier. A lot of them are going with the wide receiver from the Rams last year, Nacua.
Puka Nacua. Hey, you nailed it. Nacua. Nice job, man.
Look at that. Learning. A lot of people are expecting that. And it's just because that's one of the things that Nacua kind of flew underneath the radar was his cone drill was actually just outstanding. And so he kind of fell in the draft. He wasn't an early round guy. He was a day three guy. And then he just explodes on the scene with one of the best, if not the best, rookie wide receiver years. Okay. And a lot of people then see Luke, 6'2", great cone drill, you know, has some speed to him, all this stuff. And it's just like they're trying to push that level of greatness on him. And just kind of like the left tackle business that we talked about earlier, maybe set your expectations realistically. And then you can be pleasantly surprised if if he achieves otherworldly status. But I mean, be happy. Terry McLaurin coming out the gates as a third round rookie, just like Luke did. No one, you know, people, Trev, you talk all the time about how he was drafted to be a special teams player, and he had a great rookie year. If Luke finishes with more than 700 yards, don't be disappointed. Be excited. That's a great rookie year.
I'm just not gonna give credit to the cone drill or the combine speed for that production.
I might give credit to those.
What about the idea that McCaffrey has been practicing a little bit of running back duties? Right?
Cool. He's a McCaffrey. Yeah. That's what they do.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we're gonna probably see him out there in some maybe two back sets. Even just having him line up there, if you're talking motion, right? Line him up at running back. You have to give it every now and then, but then you can run him out to the slot. You know what we've seen Gibson do that. We're probably going to see Eckler do that. Now you have Luke McCaffrey who can start. You know, sit back there as I can take a carry. I'm not going to be my brother, but you know something. Anyways, enough.
How about Luke McCaffrey and Eckler in the backfield together?
It's going to Eckler.
It's probably a pass at that point.
Yeah.
How is Luke's blocking? That's going to be bigger one. So
there we again, go.
Lots of good things coming out of camp talk. We'll yeah. Is there anything we missed from camp that we need to talk about?
I think, how about just an overall, if I can just say an overall, is that the guys that they brought in just seem to be standing out, and it's not just the rookies, but it's the 1 year guys and the long term guys. Wagner has stood out. Luvu, Jeremy Chin, Zach Ertz is getting a lot of love in camp so far. Eckler, Biadasz, right? All these guys are getting a lot of love so far in camp, and I think that's really important, not necessarily to success for this season, but long-term success that kind of shows you so far that this Adam Peters knows how to find the players, and then Dan Quinn knows how to coach them up. And I'm using those two as figureheads, and I mean their whole teams, all the coaches, all the scouts, all the good stuff. So I think it's important that those guys have the type of years that we hope that they'll have, because again, it'll give you confidence in the front office. We don't want guys to come in and just struggle all the time. Your free agents struggle, your William Jacksons and your Curtis Samuel can't get on the field for almost an entire year. And your, you know, Forbes struggles and Davis struggles and Mathis struggles and so on and so on. So I think that's a big thing from this particular camp, is that the guys they brought in have been the standouts in camp so far.
Fair enough. There is one thing that we didn't talk about that we said we were going to talk about here in the game for our camp takes, and that was the kickers. Thanks, Lockdown Law, for that. As the Commanders did reach out to have Jake Bates come to town, the biggest, hottest name in kicking right now, as far as that's not in the NFL. And then they also have one other kicker whose name literally was just in front of me, and it is updated. Lucas Haverisk.
There you go.
Haverisk.
Yeah, and actually, he was the Browns kicker last year, if I remember correctly, right? I mean, the Browns had three guys in camp at the start of the year. They had Haverisk, or however you say his name, plus our guy from back, who's our guy that we got rid of after
McManus.
Before Sly, the guy we cut midseason. We never Dustin should have.
Hopkins.
Dustin Hopkins. So you had Hopkins, Haversick, and then they had the third guy, the guy that they drafted in like the third round or whatever, who got cut.
Kate York, something back. Like that.
Yeah, exactly. So you knew they were going to get rid of one of those at some point. You don't need three kickers in camp, and they let Haversick go, brought him over, and apparently he kicked like a 46-yarder with the entire team standing next to him, screaming and yelling at him, trying to distract him, and he booted a 46-yarder through. So we'll see. They're going to have plenty more. Maybe Bates comes in, and we'll see. But, I mean, kickers, I don't put a lot of stock in kickers, but kickers Kickers can lose you games.
Yeah, kickers are actually a long tenured kicker tends to be pretty high up in the franchise scoring list by virtue of just opportunity.
Sure.
So they do put up a lot of points for a team, and having a good one will, like you said, Stoner, win you games, and having a bad one, double doink, you're right out the playoffs. Mm. So, you know, you want to make sure that you have somebody who's doing good for that one. So, all right, that is all the camp talk we can take here. Let's move on to Austin Eckler. Stick with us here in the cool down as we talk about the Eckler experience.